Welcome to this podcast series where I talk to the artists behind the music I play on my radio shows on ukcountryradio.com. Join me while I chat to and get to know the musicians and artists behind the music I play. Listen to their stories and their musical journeys and share some laughter and fun as you get to know the artists behind the music. Hello and welcome to this episode of Bands in the Boudoir, where I'm talking to an incredibly charming and talented young singer-songwriter from North Carolina, Paige King Johnson. Hello, Paige, and welcome. Thank you for giving me your time today. How are you?
I'm doing well, and thank you for giving me your time. We're both just as busy, and I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure. The pleasure's all mine. So it's also exciting for you, isn't it? Now, when I get to chat to artists, as I was saying prior to us recording this, I really like to go right back to the beginning and get to know the artist behind the music. So I would like to know about Paige. Tell me about where you were born, where you grew up. Was music all around you? Were your family musical, etc., etc.? Do tell. I'd love to listen.
Yes, so I am from a small town in North Carolina. It's called Anger. I grew up on a farm. My family was always full of all kinds of different animals, if you will, mainly horses. And so I grew up riding horses. My mom says I could ride before I could even walk, and I would believe that. And a normal day for me was, you know, spending time with my family, whether it was down at the barn or we were going trail riding. And eventually I got into showing horses and eventually lambs and rabbits and all that kind of stuff. So that was really my whole childhood. I was an outdoor kid, and that was normal for me. And music was always something that I loved. I just love people in general. I'm very much so a people person. And I found that music brought a lot of joy to other people as well as myself. And so I clung to that very quickly, and I clung to the joy that came from having the power to entertain other people. And that came at a very young age, as me just, like, you know, dancing around in the living room and seeing my parents laugh at me and all that kind of stuff. And music was always kind of there in the background. I began singing in church as a young girl, and it just kind of went from there and started dabbling in piano and then eventually in guitar. My granddad bought me a guitar for Christmas when I was 10 years old, and that was kind of when music kind of started up for me. And it started as a hobby, just something that I knew people enjoyed and that would bring joy to them. And grew from there.
Oh, that's lovely. And I understand as well that your grandpa was your biggest fan, and that lovely, it was a baby Taylor, wasn't it, that he gave you?
Yes.
And I know it was very sad that he passed away. How old were you when he passed away?
I was still 10. He brought me that guitar, yeah, and then he passed away the following Easter.
But you carried on the memory of your grandpa, didn't you, by getting out there with your guitar and singing and playing anywhere that would have you, at any stage.
Yes.
I bet you had the best fun, didn't you?
Yes, I still do.
That's really brave to get out there so young to just be playing and singing the song. So who were your influences, and what were your favorite songs to sing at those gigs?
Well, I grew up in a house that listened to a lot of classic country music. So a lot of Loretta Lynn and Patsy Cline, a lot of Merle Haggard and Willie Nelson. And so that was country music to me. And that was what I tried to go out and imitate whenever I was playing shows, or, you know, at that point it wasn't necessarily shows. It was just, you know, playing at church or playing in talent competitions and stuff like that. And I wanted to be and still want to be Loretta Lynn, like, when I grew up. And so that was what I went after, and played a lot of those classic country songs that I grew up listening to, and that made me fall in love with country music. So I was singing a lot of Coal Miner's Daughter, a lot of Walking After Midnight by Patsy Cline, any Merle Haggard song. My dad loves Merle Haggard, and Kind of throwing some of the newer country music in the mix, the music that I was listening to. I was born in the 90s, and so, 90s country music is in my core. So I was throwing those songs in as well as all the classic country music and just trying to get a good mix, for anybody that was listening. And I still find myself doing that today.
Well, I mean, country music is timeless, isn't it? You've got the classic, which is timeless, but also the newer country music is going to be timeless as well. It's just such a lovely genre. And of course, when you were playing those gigs, I mean, what better way to learn the craft and get your confidence out there and just, you're clearly very at ease in front of an audience and clearly hold your own with an audience as well. So, I mean, it's just a great experience. But of course, you're a songwriter as well, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I love songwriting, and country music made me fall in love with telling stories.
And when did you start songwriting? And do you have, because I always like to get to a backstory of a song. It doesn't have to be your first song. Some artists remember their first song, but they say, no way, I hope it never gets out there. No. So when did you actually start? Was it 10 when you picked up the guitar, or did songwriting come along a little bit later? And do you remember your first song? Do you want to divulge it, or would you like to move on to or would you just like to tell me when you started and leave out that other bit?
I think going back and reflecting on your early work can really make you appreciate the hard work that you have put in to become a much better writer now, than you were back then. I started writing songs when I moved to Nashville, and so I was 17 then, right after high school. I felt like, and I always get the question, well, why did it take you so long to start writing songs and your own songs? And I felt like whenever I was younger that I hadn't lived enough, hard life to be able to write anything that would matter or that would, be worth listening to. I was never the young girl that was, all about Taylor Swift and loved that, very naive and young kind of writing style. And I love those hardcore hitting country songs that were more of the classic style. And so I never felt like I had lived enough life to be able to write songs like that, which is why I think I waited until I did move to college. And it took a few people in the Nashville realm to kind of encourage me in the fact that, you don't have to have a you ain't woman enough to take my man kind of story to still be able to write your own song. And so I'm very grateful to those people, one of them being my first roommate in college, who was a and still is a very prolific songwriter. And it took me watching her go through the process and watching her enjoy everything, but also seeing people's reactions to her songs to really believe in myself in being able to tell, any kind of story or to feel the freedom to make up a story and put it to your own melody. And I instantly fell in love with writing songs. I mean, to say that my job is that I get to sit down every day and tell a new story and, put music to it is a dream come true. And then hopefully, that story being something that somebody can connect to down the road.
It's a total dream come true for any songwriter, isn't it? Just to be able to sit there, write songs, get them recorded, and as you say, influence. It could brighten somebody's day. If you've got a sort of sad song, it might be something that they could really relate to and feel, yeah, I want to be melancholy to this, or you've got something upbeat. And I'm a great listener of lyrics. And we're coming on to one of your songs in a minute, actually, which I find the lyrics very, I love the video to it. It's got very cheeky undertones, the sentiment there. But of course, you honed your songwriting craft because you went to a lot of the writer circles around, didn't you? Which are very encouraging. You get to try out your songs, you get to get the positive feedback. And in fact, you also, not least, the Bluebird Cafe as well. How was that?
Amazing. I mean, when you move to Nashville, I think everybody's dream, the pinnacle is play the Bluebird and play the Ryman. And the fact that I checked off the Bluebird at such an early stage in my Nashville time is a dream come true. And To be able to play in a room that so many other talented songwriters and, Grammy Award winners have played in, it's breathtaking and very inspiring too. To be able to take that, and on the days that maybe you don't believe in yourself so much, you kind of like trigger that memory again to remind yourself, like, hey, we've made it this far, and there's so much more room that we have to go.
Oh, and I think you've got such wonderful things ahead of you. I'm sure you have, Paige, and I'll be interested in following your career very closely. Now, I was saying about songs because I listen to lyrics. I love melodies, but I'm always into one thing that I like is that I can hear what you're singing. Some vocalists are not very clear with their diction, but I can hear what you're singing. It's really lovely, and I love Famous Enough. And a cute video that is as well. I love Famous Enough. The lyrics and the sentiment is just great, but I love Baby Don't. That's what I'm saying. The video is such fun, and it's got very cheeky undertones, which I really, really like. What would be your favorite song that you've written more recently, or don't you have a favorite? Because I mean, all songs have their own unique element to them, don't they? But do you have a favorite?
I get asked this question a lot, and I feel like I don't have kids, but I feel like I am a mother to all of my songs that I write. And your newest one is always your favorite. I recently wrote one that I've been playing out quite a bit, and I always get such great reactions. People come up to me and they're like, "Is that song recorded? Can we listen to that song? Can we buy that song?" And it's a song called "I Thank God." I'm a very religious and spiritual person, and I believe most days it's what gets me through and keeps me going in such an industry like this. But I wrote it with a friend of mine named Mike Astrakhan, and we write together quite a bit. On my album that I just put out in June of this year, we wrote, I think, four of the songs that are on that album. And so he's just somebody that we really understand each other on a deep level. And we wrote that song very easily, and it is a song just kind of about all the things that may seem mundane in your everyday life, but that truly are like the biggest blessings that we do have. I think everybody, we're on the go so much and doing so many things, especially now, post-COVID, that we can get lost in the craziness and not realize how blessed we are to be busy and to have so many things going on around us and so many people around us. And so I think a song like that just hits home for so many people because, at the end of the day, we are so blessed. I mean, just to be able to wake up and live another day is truly a blessing, in the big picture of things that are happening in the world. So, that's a favorite as of now. We'll see. The answer may change next week.
I think for most songwriters, it is the newest is usually the best. And the very, very first, you just kind of, well, yeah, okay, brush it off
Yes.
the carpet. Now, your videos are lovely and they're very well directed. And of course, I found out from researching you that they're directed by Pam Tillis, the wonderful
Yes.
legend that is Pam Tillis. How did that come about that you got directed by Pam Tillis?
Yeah, so Pam and I have worked together now on three different music videos, all very, very different. Which I love, being able to go back and see all of that. But it started from the first video we did, which was for a song called Just Like You. And I was working on it at the time, and we were getting ready to release it. And I still have no clue how it ended up getting in the hands of Pam. That is a mystery to me, that I need to figure out from her. But she ended up hearing this song and reached out to my team and my management and said, "Hey, I heard this song. I believe in this young artist as, a young woman in country music. And if there's any way that I can help out and do anything, to kind of help her reach that next step of where she's wanting to go, I would love to be involved." And When my team called me and told me that, I was like, y'all are joking. This is not cool. Don't play around with me like this. But eventually finding out that it was indeed the truth, and that Pam was liking what she was hearing that was coming from me. I mean, that's the biggest, compliment of a lifetime. And especially as a 90s kid who grew up listening to Pam Tillis, that really was a dream come true. And to now be able to call her a friend and a mentor, on top of, being the producer of music videos and all that kind of stuff, is a really cool thing, to have somebody with so much knowledge of the industry as a whole, but also what it means to be a young woman in the industry, and having to pave your way, and make your mark, amongst all of the noise. She's a great resource for all that.
And I bet she's super fun to work with because she's always had a great sense of
Oh yeah.
fun, hasn't she?
That woman has the best sense of fashion, has
Yes.
the best sense of humor. I mean, she is like the total package, and I wish everybody could know her on a personal level because she is everything and
Oh,
more.
I used to love listening. I am a great fan of Pam Tillis. So, yeah. That's a dream for you. How wonderful and how lovely of her to do that. I've talked to other artists, and one of the things that comes out of it is the fact that so many in the country music genre or the bluegrass genre or even the folk genre, the roots music basically, it doesn't matter how far up, how famous they are, how well known, they are always reach out and help an upcoming artist if they think they can. And it's just so giving and so approachable. And
Yeah.
Pam is just, she's just proven that as well. It happens a lot, doesn't it, in that genre, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it happens in other genres, but I'm certainly seeing it in this genre very, very much, and the bluegrass one as well.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it kind of stems from, people who sing in the roots genres typically come from small communities or small towns or, the country, whatever that means to them. And just the sentiment of, helping your neighbor and all that kind of stuff, that's ingrained in you from a very young age. And so I think it has no choice but to just kind of seep out into people's lives, and in their careers. And that's definitely the case for Pam. She's been so generous to me, and I'm so grateful for it.
Oh, she's a lovely lady. Now, you mentioned earlier on about an album. Would that be Honky Tonk Heart?
Yes, it would be.
So it was recorded in Nashville, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Over the course of about 3 years, actually, it was recorded.
And you've just told me you co-wrote four. Did you write the rest, or are they songs that have been given to you?
Yeah, so I wrote every song on the album but two. And those two were actually sent to me from Pam. Pam was came into the process very early on whenever we were working on the album. And so she knew what we were working on, and she came up to me. She's like, "Paige, I love the album as a whole, what you're working on, but would you be interested if I kind of reached out to contacts here in Nashville and did some song shopping for you?" And I was like, "Absolutely. I am of the mindset that the best song wins, no matter if I was a writer on it or if it was written by somebody else. As long as it's a good song at the end of the day, that's all that matters." And so the two songs on the album that were outside songs, what we call outside songs, not written by myself, were Baby Don't and Famous Enough. And Pam found both of those songs and instantly heard my voice and heard my personality in those songs. And I think did such a good job of finding those songs and sent them my way. And she's like, "Paige, I really think you need to consider these songs." And I listened to them and fell in love with them, and I knew they had to go on the record. So those were two of the last songs that were recorded for the album.
I want to move on now. Can you tell me about the country yard party and your dinner theatre, which is, what is it, country on the outskirts? Tell me about those.
Yeah, so those were Country on the Outskirts of Town, which is a dinner theater that I started in my hometown here in North Carolina. They were both my, that's my entrepreneur side coming out of me, very much so. And I started the dinner theater when I was a sophomore in high school. That was really when I had like made up my mind that music was what I was going to do for the rest of my life, and there was no plan B. And I kind of took it as my initiative to prove to my parents that, hey, I can make a business out of this. I can make a living out of this. I'm going to make this work for me. And so I kind of looked around in my area. I told you I come from a small town, and there's not a lot of opportunity for live musicians like myself, as well as for people to enjoy live entertainment. And I found that to be a problem, and I wanted to fix it very quickly. And so I started a dinner theater when I was a sophomore in high school, and I had a lot of fun getting to know local artists around the area to join me on the show, as well as, I didn't realize at the time, but building my own fan base for my music, right here starting at home. And so it grew and grew, and I ended up making trips back and forth while I was in college in Nashville. I would come back home and put on these shows every single year. And then when COVID hit in 2020, we weren't able to do indoor kind of shows at all. And there was most definitely a need for creative outlets and entertainment outlets for people in a very dark time, in a very troubling time. And so we kind of shifted the whole indoor dinner theater idea to an outdoor music festival. And 2020 was our first year doing that, and got a lot of local singer-songwriters out, and they could bring their bands and all that kind of stuff. And the very first year, we had people socially distance out in a big old field. People were dancing in their truck beds and bringing their boats on trailers and sitting in them, and having tailgate parties in their little space by themselves. And it was just a really beautiful thing to see for the first time in those few months, a community coming back together and rallying around music, and entertainment in general. And it's just grown every single year, and one of my favorite shows to do every single year.
Gosh, how do you fit it all in? Superwoman.
I have amazing parents, an amazing family around me who help me keep the engine going while I'm out of town.
Well, there's another thing I want to talk about is you are the ambassador for Got to Be NC Agriculture. Can you tell me more about that? How did that come about?
Yeah, so I told you I was raised on a farm. I was a farm girl first before I was a music girl. And where I'm from in North Carolina is a very rural place that's, mainly farmland. And all of our family friends are somehow in the farming industry. And so from a very young age, I appreciated the whole world of agriculture, and I understood the importance of agriculture. I grew up in 4-H and in FFA all throughout, elementary, middle, and high school. And that was my whole world. And when I moved to Nashville, I quickly realized that not everybody was raised in that kind of environment and, was aware of the importance and just how far-reaching agriculture as an industry was. And so in 2020, when I came back to North Carolina from Nashville, kind of as everybody did at the moment, just trying to figure things out, I was playing on a Zoom call for one of my old 4-H groups. And there were some people with the Department of Agriculture that were on the call at the time. And afterwards, we just kind of started talking back and forth about my music and everything that I had going on, and they just wanted to help promote my music and what I was doing in Nashville. And those conversations ended up turning into myself being the ambassador for the department as a whole, and getting to go around and hopefully educate people, not just within our state lines, but all over the United States and all over the world, just about everything that North Carolina agriculture, the farmers and ranchers have going on here.
Oh, that's fabulous. What a wonderful thing to do. And can't think of a better ambassador, having been brought up on a farm herself, knowing the industry so well. and bring in your country music to it all as well. I mean, it's great because it does work both ways. You're the ambassador for them and they help you promote your music. So, I mean, it's a win-win, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, just adds to the dream job.
Absolutely, it does. So what are your plans for 2023?
A lot. That's the beauty and the not so great side of being a creative is that you're constantly, your wheels are turning and things are happening up here. Definitely new music. I've written so much music just from June until now, and I know that more music is to come as we get into the new year, but more music and a lot more shows. Going out and getting to see these people and play music for them is one of my favorite things. And so definitely a whole bunch more shows and hopefully expanding to new places. I would love to come across the pond and go over to the UK as well too, to see some people over there. But, you know, just kind of being open. I've learned as a musician, especially since 2020 hit, that you have to be very flexible and open to anything that is to come your way. And that's very much rang true for me over the past few years. So, you know, just preparing myself and continuing to hone my craft so that I can be ready for whatever comes to me.
And obviously just love every second of everything that's happening and, you know, go with it basically, eh?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Paige, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you today, and I will be following your career closely. Like, I'll be following everybody that I interview really closely. I'm already following you on all social media. So listeners, don't forget to stop by on social media for Paige King Johnson. Listen to her music, download it, buy it, you know, follow her. You won't be disappointed. It's fabulous stuff. And I am very much looking forward to seeing you in the future. And maybe in a year's time, you can come back and give me an interview so we can follow on from where you've been, your journey.
Yes, I would love that.
Thank you again. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And hopefully I'll see you soon.
You have been listening to a Lynn Nash Music and Voice production for the Bands in the Boudoir podcast. I do hope you've enjoyed listening, and I hope you will come back to listen to further episodes in the future. Thank you very much for tuning in.